Everyone, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you're having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching in from. If you've opened up Blockfolio today, if you're using Delta, you've probably seen your crypto portfolio get smacked in the face. It hasn't been a fun day in the markets whatsoever. You hop over here to On-Chain FX, basically everything is in the red. Actually, everything but DigiDAO and BitConnect are in the red. Shout out to BitConnect. But everything but DigiDAO and BitConnect are in the red on On-Chain FX. Pretty similar story over at CoinMarketCap. And there's a lot of different thoughts and rumors and things being circulated in the media as far as why this is happening. And a lot of it, in my opinion, is stupid. Are we in the midst of a bear market? Have we been in the midst of a bear market for the past 2-3 weeks? Yeah. Has there been certain regulatory issues popping up and things like that? Yes. But it's incredible right now what's going on within like the mainstream media and a lot of these other reporting outlets that are talking about, you know, as the cryptocurrency market is on the way up, it's doing everything in the world to drive page views and clicks and views and get all this interest, and CNBC is talking about how to buy Ripple at the top at over $3 and showing people how to use Poloniex and, you know, showing everybody how to use Coinbase. And then on the way down, they're all like, haha, look at these crypto idiots. We told you so. It can't have it both ways. But let's talk about some of this news that's coming out right now. Is there anything driving the bear market? What's my thought process on this? And also, I want to talk a little bit about the Ethereum flipping because this is the first time since probably June of 2017 where we're starting to sniff a potential ETH flipping here, where, I mean, there's still a $50 billion gap between Ethereum and Bitcoin, but it's worth having a little bit of a discussion on. And the last thing is I want to talk a little bit about Knowles. I brought up Knowles recently in yesterday's video, actually, when I talked about the next Ethereum and platform plays, and a ton of folks mentioned Knowles in the comments. So, and I also reached out on Twitter and asked about what white paper to read. Knowles was the white paper that was recommended. I had a little bit of time to dive into the Knowles white paper. So I want to go over my thoughts and also hear about your suggestions and your thoughts, because I'm trying to be as open-minded as possible here. So let's get into it. If you are new to the channel by any chance, hit that subscribe button, the notify bell. But let's start it off with our good buddies over at Reuters.com. And this is hilarious. Like, I actually laughed at this. Reuters said that Bitcoin is sliding because of the Facebook advertising ban, as well as the India clampdown on investors. So if you don't know too much about the India clampdown, the finance minister, speaking of Facebook ads, but we'll hop into that in a second. Speaking of India first, so the India's finance minister came out in a speech and said this about crypto. He said, as quoted per the transcript, the government does not consider cryptocurrencies legal tender or coin and will take all measures to eliminate use of these crypto assets in financing illegitimate activities or as part of the payment system. Whatever. You know what? If they want to do that, that's fine. But I'm not selling my crypto. I'm not selling Bitcoin or Ethereum or anything else because a finance minister in India said that they're not legal tender. I'm just not. I don't think it's that bearish. It is what it is. India can do what they want to do. Could that have caused part of the sell-off? Sure, it could have caused it. But I don't think that many people in the U.S. are like, oh my God, India's, you know, no legal tender. We need to really freak out here. Panic sell. Hit that trigger. But the funnier part about the Reuters thing, and I think this is pretty hilarious because a lot of people say, yo, Bobby, you're always FUDing, you know, you're always talking about negative things, you're never that positive. To associate the Bitcoin dip to Facebook stopping cryptocurrency advertising is absolutely positively hilarious. And it's really funny because this is a Google ad, this is Google AdSense, but here we see my good old buddy, James Altucher, the next Bitcoin is coming, says Crypto Genius. So basically Facebook has banned these types of advertisements, these ridiculously stupid, silly advertisements that are preying on people that are not familiar with crypto, and they throw out these massive numbers of like, Bitcoin Genius predicts 28,000% returns. We'll show you how to turn $100 into $75 billion by next week. And what if Facebook wants to ban that? Honestly, like most of those advertisements, not that I really go on Facebook at all anymore, but most of those advertisements on Facebook were just absolute trash of get rich quick, make money online, guys. You know, like this stuff. The next Bitcoin is coming, says Altucher. Or they were crappy ICOs that were trying to get people to invest into their, you know, into their ICO through Facebook. So I don't think that attributing a Bitcoin correction of multiple billions of dollars in market capitalization has anything on the planet to do with the Facebook advertising ban. And this goes to show in a lot of respects too that, yes, the market is not hot right now. There's no debating that. But not every single time, not every piece of news is directly associated with the market moving. Like Facebook could ban crypto advertisements. It doesn't mean that that's the reason that crypto is sold off. That it's not the case. India's finance minister can come out and say some pretty negative things. That doesn't necessarily mean that the market is selling off because of that. You know, if Tether blows up, the market will probably sell off. Or if the US comes out with some crazy ban, the market will probably sell off. But attributing it to something like this is just absolutely silly and ridiculous. And I'll pop over here to the global market cap, and we'll just put this into the three-month time frame, and just take this and, you know, take this with a grain of salt. And I always do this, but I think it's necessary to do this. If you're listening on the podcast, I would recommend going to CoinMarketCap or anywhere with just a total market capitalization of crypto. And I see a lot of posts on Twitter, and they literally make me laugh every single time. Where it's like, I haven't been this poor in a month or in like 2 weeks or whatever. My portfolio hasn't been this low in 2 weeks. Like, oh my God, I'm freaking out, like being sarcastic. And it's kind of the same when you look at this. So you have to keep in mind, depending upon where you got into the crypto marketplace, that this your level of pain varies because of this. If you got into crypto in December, where there was this whole big, you know, in late December, January, where everything just went nuts and was going just bananas, your level of pain might be pretty brutal. You might be sitting at 50% losses. On the other end of the spectrum, if you got in anywhere prior to November, you're still probably up like 100%. So you look at these total market caps in the last 3 months. We started in November at less than $200 billion in total market cap. Yes, the entire crypto market pulled a 4x, and it peaked in January, early January, at over around $830 billion in market cap. And now we've been on a free fall all the way down to $455 billion in market cap. But everybody's sounding the alarm and saying, like, you know, this is the biggest bubble popping. This is terrible. You know, I don't know. Everybody just being super negative right now. What goes up must come down in many, many markets and just basically everything in life. So crypto went up 4x in less than 3 months. For it to have a 50% pullback, around a 50% pullback, is fairly logical in my opinion. Does it suck? Does it suck to look at your blockfolio going down every single week, or your Delta app going down and down and down? Yeah, it does. But you have to zoom out the vision, and this is just on a three-month time frame. I mean, look at the past year, and you look at where the market has been. Again, it doesn't help the fact if you got in late December or January, but if you did, you either need to look at your holdings and say, hey, I can stomach some pretty rough losses, or alternatively, cut bait and move on with it, because crypto is extremely volatile. And with the 4x moves up, with the 10x moves up, there's also 30, 50, 60, 70, 80% moves down. And I've talked about it before, and a lot of people who are new to the space don't really want to listen to it, but there have been multiple times where crypto, where the Bitcoin market and crypto as a whole has corrected 75%, 80%, 85%. You have to stomach those losses, or you have to have a plan in place to deal with that as it happens, because the markets are not extremely liquid. They're not extremely developed. They are open to manipulation. They are open to a ton of negative news, a ton of FUD. You know, the simplest thing can move these markets. So you just have to be aware of that and always have a plan on the back end. When everything is going up, when you're feeling euphoric, it's never a terrible thing to take profits. And also too, like I've said before, if you are very uncomfortable right now with where your money's at, if you are extremely uncomfortable losing your money, there's nothing wrong with selling, taking profits, or just moving yourself out of the market. You know, people might say weak hands. People might say, you know, you're a wimp, whatever. You have to do what's right for you personally, as you see fit. So that's my thought process on this. For me, I've continued to dollar cost average in on the way down. That's my personal approach. That's my opinion. I am bullish on the crypto markets in the long term. I do think that in 2018, at some point in time, we will likely see $1 trillion market cap in the crypto world. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think for the next 3 months or 6 months that we're going to shoot back up to the moon and go parabolic again or get back on some parabolic trend or something like that. I've seen multi-year bear markets in the crypto space. And if you have before, it's not fun. And you just have to expect that things aren't always fun, and kind of take that with a grain of salt. Now, on the other end of the spectrum here, again, kind of going off the conversation yesterday, where we talked a little bit about Ethereum, and Ethereum today was actually holding up. It was positive for most of the day today, but Ethereum is up 7% against Bitcoin in the past 24 hours, still hovering above $1,000, and ETH is only down 25% from its all-time high, which has been pretty damn impressive, like very, very impressive to see. And it's leading a lot of people out there to restart the flippening talk. Most of the market, pretty much the majority of the crypto market right now, is down 50%+ from the all-time highs that were established within the past, let's say, 15 to 45 days. Ethereum is only down 25%. So it's been half as brutal, let's say. It's been better than half as brutal for most cryptocurrencies out there. And if you pop over to the actual Bitcoin dominance here, you can see that this is, interestingly enough, the worst Bitcoin has ever been right now, or just around the worst Bitcoin has ever been in terms of dominance. Now, I'll pull up the one-year chart here because, you know, previously the dominance has kind of gone all over the place. So if you look at the all-time high, for most of all the other years outside of 2017, Bitcoin was always at like a +85%, +90% dominance. And then once Ethereum finally started picking up steam in early 2017, around springtime of 2017, ETH crushed it all the way up to mid-June. And that was really the height of the ETH flippening talk, back when Bitcoin was only a 37-38% market capitalization dominance-wise, and Ethereum was at 31-32%. Now, Ethereum has come all the way back here to up to about 22% of the market capitalization dominance. However, Bitcoin is at about 33%, and it's something to keep an eye on. And I think you may start to see more of these thoughts happen, you know, more of these thoughts continually kind of coming out, and you're going to hear more and more about the Ethereum dominance if the bear market continues with Bitcoin. And it'd be interesting to see if Ethereum can actually decouple a little bit more from how things are moving. If Ethereum can actually decouple a little bit more from how things are moving with Bitcoin. Traditionally speaking, if Bitcoin has gone down, it hasn't really, regardless of how much steam everything has, it's led the market to pretty much go down as well with it. And if you pop over here to Coinigy right now, I'll pull this up, put it on a full screen. And you can see the Ethereum, so the Ethereum ratio, the Ethereum to Bitcoin ratio really peaked at that height of the flippening back in mid-June, where ETH went all the way up to 0.17. And it bottomed out at below 0.03, at about 0.025, which was super low in like early December. That's where it bottomed out. And Ethereum has basically been on a straight climb against Bitcoin since, which has been very impressive. Ethereum has just been kicking butt since. And I've made some moves into Ethereum. I've moved heavier into Ethereum recently, probably in the past week or so, in a lot of respects due to just anticipating participating in some potential ICOs and just building up my ETH portfolio and selling off a little bit here and there of some of the other altcoins to have ETH ready to go in case an ICO comes up that I want to participate in. So that's been somewhat fortuitous timing on that. But I think this is something to certainly keep in mind. If we see similar ratios to what we saw back in June, where Ethereum was at 0.15, that could be pretty impressive. And there's a lot of momentum I think we're seeing right now on Ethereum's standpoint, in addition to some of the other platform plays as well. So certainly something to keep in mind. The last thing I wanted to talk about today was nulls. And this is something where I really would like your opinion on this, everybody out there who might be a fan of nulls. So I went through the white paper. I did some due diligence on it. Not incredibly detailed. I read the entire white paper. I went through the yellow paper to as much of an extent as I could. And I enjoyed it. However, when I look at the white paper, and I'll pop down here, there were a couple things. You know, a lot of people, like I said, there were a ton of comments yesterday in yesterday's video about nulls. And then I reached out yesterday in regards to what white paper should I read. And the majority of the comments were Deep Onion Chain and nulls. And I'm somewhat familiar with Deep Onion Chain and wasn't really as interested. I thought nulls sounded a lot more interesting, so I'd rather go ahead and read the nulls white paper. It also happened to be pretty short, so that made it an easy read. But as I went through it, there were a lot of things with nulls that in some cases, it just seems like it's trying to do a ton. And that maybe took away a little bit of the appeal for me. The fact that they're trying to do a modular-based architecture is interesting. The subchain, having multiple levels of basically subchains, having a two-part design is really interesting. The way they're trying to solve scalability, having public and private chains as well. That sounded pretty fascinating. The ability to customize some of those sidechains, the kind of consensus mechanism that they're utilizing as well was pretty interesting. But as I went down into it, so one of the things that I thought was probably maybe my biggest concern, or not necessarily biggest concern, but I think as I'm looking at this, is a lot of the information was, I would say, fairly light in the white paper, and definitely it got more detailed in the yellow paper, although I don't have as much of a technical background. I'm not a software engineer, so I can't really look at the yellow paper and make super accurate determinations based off of it. But just even the fact that, you know, there is a built-in smart contract. However, the smart contract is only one page in the white paper. I was like, I don't know. But when I was looking at the roadmap, if I could see this here, if we can zoom in here, the one thing, and maybe this is a fantastic opportunity, or maybe this is just kind of all hype, and you could say this about a lot of blockchain projects. So I would certainly love your feedback. This is not me fudding nulls. I want to hear, for any nulls bulls out there, for people that really like nulls, because there were a lot of you guys in the comments, I'd like to hear your opinion as to why you really truly believe in this project and like it. But I was looking at this, you know, so March 2018, they're completing the testing phase. In May, they're starting to promote the applications. They're starting my biggest thing really was by December 2018, that is when the release of the smart contract module is going to be. Like a lot of this is pretty far down. You know, we're talking about a release of a PC wallet in July, talking about a mobile wallet in July, a blockchain explorer in potentially July, April, May, whenever that might be, mainnet launch after May. So it's fairly far out in terms of the actual roadmap, and I'm just not sold that they can truly deliver on a pretty grand vision. You know, the vision sounds fantastic, but can they deliver on it? That was kind of my biggest concern as I was looking at this, was just seeing how early it was along the roadmap. Now, again, you could say the same thing about a lot of other cryptocurrencies out there, so I don't want to take anything away from that, but I'm really just more interested because I'm trying to get a feel for why people like projects, why people, you know, is there a buzzword in there that you really like? Is there some specific reason as to why you like that cryptocurrency? And that's what I'm trying to learn and trying to kind of crowdsource as much as possible. So if you are a fan of nulls, and again, I read the white paper, I thought it was interesting. I didn't love it, to be honest. However, I'm still open to having my mind changed. And I think that's important, is not shutting down the conversation and just being open to learning. And I definitely am open to learning. So if you like nulls, if there's a specific reason why you do, let me know in the comments and I'd be happy to learn, think about it, put my thoughts together, and potentially change my mind as to why, you know, why it might be something that could be super legit as well. Outside of that, folks, if you are new to the channel, by any chance, hit that subscribe button, the notify bell. I do daily videos on the subject of cryptocurrency, as well as YouTube Live Crypto Happy Hours. One quick note, I'll have some family things going on this weekend, so content might not be as continuous as normal, but I really do appreciate the time, everybody. Thank you so much, Crypto Bobby, signing out. Have a good one. Peace.